For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you this time about the intolerable compliment. I wish that I could sit down and just talk with you face to face. I wish I could see who's listening today. Maybe you're standing at an ironing board, feeling very lonely, very discouraged, daunted by the enormous pile of ironing. I know my daughter tells me that that's just one of the most implacable of all household tasks. It seems as though there's never a time when she can say that the ironing is all done or the letters all answered. I may be talking to someone who has just moved to a new house, and you're surrounded with boxes and crates and barrels, and you have no idea what's in where or where the things are that you need for today and where in the world you're going to put all this stuff. Maybe you've lost a job and you just feel as if life is over, you're no good, you're not wanted, nobody needs you, and you cannot live up to other people's expectations. I don't know what your situation is, but I don't know whether it's any worse than the situation that the prophet Elisha was in when the king of Aram was determined to capture him. And when the king was told that Elisha the prophet was in Dothan, he sent an army, a strong force, with horses and chariots. They came by night and surrounded the city. This is one of my favorite Bible stories. It's found in the second book of Kings in chapter 6. Let me read to you the exciting part. When the disciple of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, he saw a force with horses and chariots surrounding the city. "Oh, master," he said, "which way are we to turn?" He answered, "Do not be afraid, for those who are on our side are more than those on theirs." I can imagine the response of Elisha's servant when he gave him that answer. Those who are on our side? Well, there isn't anybody at all on our side. Here we are all by ourselves. And we're faced with horses and chariots, the army of a strong king. What are you talking about? Do not be afraid. But while he was musing that way, and of course I was inserting that, the Bible doesn't have any of the servant's musings, but it goes on in verse 17 to say, then Elisha offered this prayer. So I imagine that Elisha was praying while the disciple was musing. O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw the hills covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As they came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this host, I pray thee, with blindness." And he struck them blind, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha said to them, "You are on the wrong road. This is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men and let them see again." And he opened their eyes, and they saw that they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, am I to destroy them?" "No, you must not do that," he answered. "You may destroy those whom you have taken prisoner with your own sword and bow, but as for these men, give them food and water and let them eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and they ate and drank and then went back to their master. And Aramaean raids on Israel ceased. The fact is that no matter what you see going on in your world, there are things going on always in an unseen world. There is another level on which our faith is meant to operate. Faith, remember, is a two-world word. We look at the facts, and then we look above at the things which are invisible, which we know from the scriptures, from the promises of God. and we are not daunted. Our faith does not disintegrate when we look at the frightening facts around us. What the servant did not see was that the hills were covered with horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Now, I don't know whether Elisha actually saw them himself, but he trusted God. He knew that God, in his own way, could protect them. And so when he asked the Lord to open the servant's eyes, that was what God showed the servant. There was something going on in an unseen world that he could not even have imagined. For one reason or another, perhaps you're like Elisha's servant, in a panic, feeling defenseless and alone, wondering which way to turn. Our faithful Heavenly Father knows what a battle it is for you. You're a flesh and blood creature. You're supposed to focus on the spiritual. As long as we live in a material world, it will be a battle. It will always be a battle. I've had people ask me questions which really couldn't help but make me want to laugh. Things like, do you always think spiritually? Do you never have any problem trusting God? Do you always look at things as a gateway to joy? Of course not. Of course I know what this battle is like. But I'm here to say that God is here to help and to cheer us if we'll ask Him to. He really does that. He will open our eyes to the unseen if we'll pray for it. Remember Paul's encouragement to the Corinthians? He reminded them that the outcome of human problems is a weight of glory. When we fix our eyes on things unseen, which will never pass away, rather than on things seen, which will all pass away. I love to think about that weight of glory. I can't imagine what it is, but I can picture a scales, an old-fashioned scales in my mind, the kind that you hold up, and you've got a pan suspended by wires on one side and a pan suspended by wires on the other side, and the heavier weight overbalances the scales. Whatever our problems may be, if we load them all on one side of the scales, we will find, I'm sure, when we get to heaven, that that weight of glory will outweigh them by so much that our own troubles will look like a bunch of feathers. But the secret is gazing on things which are unseen rather than on things seen. Is it easier to see Elisha's disciple as surrounded by chariots of fire than it is to see ourselves so surrounded? Has God, in our case, forgotten to be gracious? Are we at the mercy of the king of Aram? Or have we faith to see what the prophet saw? Last spring, I met a young detective from Belfast who has a particularly lonely job. His work takes him into the most dangerous sections of that torn city, and he was afraid. He knew that a bomb or a gun might go off at any moment, and he could be killed or kneecapped or disabled in some other way. Being a husband and father, he feared not primarily for himself, but for his family. Someone gave him the story of the five missionaries in Ecuador, five men who attempted to take the gospel to a tribe of Stone Age people called Aucas and were speared to death in the attempt. He told me how he would take that book to bed with him at night, read a little, cry over it, pray, and then reread the passage. He had planned to read a chapter a night, but he found himself reading and rereading, crying and praying his way through it. It gave me courage, he told me. His face was shining. I saw that those men did what they did, believing that God was in charge of the outcome. I'm not a missionary, but I'm under the same Lord. If those men could do it, I could too. The life and death of all of us is in the same hands. We are always surrounded by the unseen, among whom are the angels, ministers of fire, explicitly commissioned to guard us. He who keeps us neither slumbers nor sleeps. His love is always awake, always aware, always surrounding and upholding and protecting. There in your car, there in your office, there in the kitchen, there at the ironing board. His love is there surrounding you. If a spear or a bullet finds its target in the flesh of one of his servants, It's not because of inattention on God's part. It's because of love. And this brings me back to that strange title that I gave this talk, The Intolerable Compliment. I want to quote from C.S. Lewis's book, The Problem of Pain. This is what he says: if God is love, he is by definition something more than mere kindness. And it appears from all records that though he has often rebuked us and condemned us, he has never regarded us with contempt. He has paid us the intolerable compliment of loving in the deepest, most tragic, inexorable sense. The intolerable compliment of loving. In other words, what C.S. Lewis is telling us in these so beautifully chosen words is that God is always operating for good, always operating out of everlasting love. It's the law of the universe. There is no good that is not God's good.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.